I'm going to pray. This is from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Father, as we gather around your word and consider it together now, help us to love it, to meditate on it, to have your word with us every day, all the time, to think of your statutes and your precepts. We pray through this you would help us to be wise in our Lord Jesus, and not just to know these things, but to put them into action as well. In Jesus' name, amen. When you go to a local restaurant and you have a good time, do you like to recommend it to other people? Do you leave a review, maybe, on a website? Or you say to your friend at work, oh, I went to this great restaurant over the weekend. Fancy coming there with me, maybe. I wonder what you last recommended. Perhaps it wasn't a restaurant, maybe it was a hairdresser or a taxi firm or something else. These things we recommend, they've got one thing in common, haven't they? We think they're great. They've given us a good service somehow. We've enjoyed it. We might even go as far as not just recommending, we might go as far as raving about them, might we? Do you do that ever? Something that's that good that you rave about it. You can't stop yourself telling people. A bit like me and flying. Get me on flying. Whoa. And our passage today encourages us to be people who recommend God, who rave about him even, because he's so brilliant. Our passage is all about God's glory. God's glory, it's a big theme. And glory is all about, it's a funny word, because in the Hebrew it's translating something about weight. And weight's got all these other associations, hasn't it? Difficult ones, maybe to do with diet, or if you're someone who makes recipes, it's to do with how much flour you put in something. But think of like a diplomat you've heard of in the news, who you really respect, and they've got a certain weight about them, haven't they? Gravity. And God's glory is his weightiness, significance, and his importance. And this is a big theme in this section of Exodus that we've got to. Moses is going up and down Mount Sinai, and he's had a big moment with God, where in the little passage before that we didn't have read, chapter 3, verse 18, Moses said to God, "Now show me your glory. Show me your glory." The relationship that Moses has had with God and that God's people have had with God has had its ups and downs over the last few months in this book, hasn't it? I mean, last week got to a real low. Do you remember that with the golden calf? As Moses was up speaking with God, the people were left behind. They made a complete mess. They went off after some idol they'd made out of golden earrings and things. And that kind of symbolised the ups and downs over the last few months. They got out of Egypt and got a rescue, and they praised him, and then within days they're moaning about the water, the lack of it. Well, Moses has been hard at work recovering this relationship with God. And he's been speaking to God about God's presence. Will God go with them as they leave that place and head towards the promised land? Will God's presence be there? Chapter 33, verse 12. Moses said to the people, "You've been telling me to lead these people, but you haven't let me know whom you will send me with me." And then the Lord says, verse 14, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Oh, hallelujah, because all that stuff about the tabernacle we saw a couple of weeks ago, the big tent, that was all about God's presence being with them, wasn't it? God was going to live with his people. If he didn't go with them, Moses said, it'd be such a mess. Now, God says, "I will go with you and I'll establish my covenant with you." And that is there in those verses. He's going to establish a covenant. Oh, this is great. Because, well, Moses up to this point has been proclaiming God's covenant words to God's people. And there have been various times when Moses has come very close to God. Obviously, he converses with God. But there was a time when the elders went up the mountain with Moses, and we're told they saw his feet, and there was this amazing sort of glassy, fiery pavement they saw. But up to this point, Moses feels he hasn't actually quite seen everything of God. He hasn't seen his glory. So show me your glory, he says. Show me your weightiness, your brilliance, we might say. It's a good word, brilliance, isn't it? It combines two things. It combines the idea of light. A torch can be brilliant and really shiny, but also combines the idea of something being fantastic. It's brilliant. And that's like the word glory. It's about weight, but significance. Brilliance, light, and fantasticness. So God is weighty, awesome, brilliant, amazing. Show me this, says Moses. And God kind of says, well, yes and no. So on the one hand, he can't see the Lord, but he can see something of him. So verse 19, the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. So he can't see the face of God. He can see lots about him. God's going to let him see his back. He says, you can stand in this place in a rock. Verse 21, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And then verse 23, I'll remove my hand and you'll see my back. So the Lord's going to pass by. And as he goes by, Moses can peek out and see behind him. And so this happens in the reading we heard. And God, verse 6, passed by in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And this is why God is so brilliant. This is his weightiness and significance, his grace and his justice. His grace, that he shows compassion, he forgives sin and wickedness. His justice, he will not let the guilty go unpunished. And these are characteristics of God that are unique and wonderful. And Moses gets this, he hears of them and gets a glimpse of the wonder of God. But having read this, you might think to yourself, well, is it at all possible to see the glory of God? Well, one of the amazing things about this is that Moses' face shines as a result of his encounters with God. Weird. Moses' face shines. It's literally bright and shining. Over the last year, we bought a fire pit for the lockdown, you know, do something when you can't see anyone. And a fire pit's great, you know, you make a nice fire in the garden, all that stuff. And the wonderful thing about it is you can remember it afterwards, because when you go back in the house, you smell of smoke completely, even your hair. And the whole house smells of smoke, even though the fire pit was outside. It just sort of rubs off on you. And in a similar but much more positive way, when Moses went in to meet with God, the glory of God rubbed off on him in some way, so that when he came out, he was glowing. Have a look at verse chapter 34, verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he'd spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. It's amazing, isn't it? He'd caught the brilliance of God. How amazing was the Lord that Moses actually ended up shining? How close must Moses have been to God? It's quite incredible. It's quite amusing as well, because in a very old version of the Bible that was translated into Latin, they got this translation wrong. And they translated, his face was radiant, which actually in the Hebrew says, his face shot forth beams. So like beams of light coming from his face. But they translated this as if he had horns. And you get these statues of Moses with horns on. Let's have a look at our window. No, we're fine. Moses hasn't got horns in our window behind us here. His face isn't that brilliant either, which is a shame, but never mind. And so because of this scariness of not horns, but bright light, Moses would wear a veil when he went out, so that people wouldn't be so scared of him. And that's discussed in that passage there. So it's an incredible thing. Think about this. How brilliant is God? That this man, Moses, who spent some time somehow in God's amazing presence, comes out glowing. And this is a precursor to something even greater with the Lord Jesus. Remember, Luke writes about Jesus when he met, when he was risen from the dead and met his disciples. He says, beginning with the Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So if we go back into the Old Testament from the New, we expect to see Jesus somehow. Something that points forward to Jesus in every book. And here we're going to see something, because it's not just that Moses' face shines, you see. Jesus' face shines too. Jesus' face shines. Now you've got Bibles, so we can do this. Let's go forward to Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. I'll give you a page number while I'm there. It is 984. Page 984. And this is the event we call the Transfiguration. So in this event, Jesus takes Peter, James and John, the brother of James, and leads them up a high mountain by themselves. And there they are, verse 2. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So it's an incredible event. Rather like Moses going and seeing the glory of God, here we've got Peter, James and John seeing this incredible shiny event. And Jesus, we're told in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, is the better Moses, the greater Moses. Moses kind of points us forward. He's like a model showing what might come or what will come in Jesus. So Moses brings God's word to his people. Jesus does too, and is the word of God. Moses is a mediator between the people and God, as we heard last week, and Jesus is the greater mediator. Moses rescued the people from Egypt. Jesus rescues us from sin through his death on the cross. So Jesus is the greater Moses. But hang on just a moment. Who's doing what in this picture? Which part of the Exodus experience is Jesus fulfilling? He's not being Moses, actually, here on the mountain. He's being God. Moses went up the mountain to see the brilliance of God. Peter, James and John go up the mountain to see the brilliance of Jesus. And Moses gets to see it too while they're there. And the writer of the book to the Hebrews, which is so helpful, says this about Jesus. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus' face shines. Not like Moses with reflected light, but the actual original glory of God in him. I don't know if you watch Bargain Hunt. It's on every lunchtime, in case you're at home during lunchtime. Quite fun. And on iPlayer. And in Bargain Hunt, a whole load of people go to a fair somewhere or an antiques shop, and they buy things. And the idea is they try and find a bargain hidden away secretly, so that when they get to the auction later on, people will pay loads of money for it and they make a profit. And most of the time it doesn't work, but occasionally it's incredible. They'll buy something that looks interesting but not that spectacular, and it will go bananas at auction. At auction, the people realise the true worth of that thing that was tucked away at the back of a cabinet in a fair somewhere. And with the Lord Jesus on this mountain, the Transfiguration, the disciples at last see the true worth of the one who has been walking amongst them. As an ordinary human being for all those days. And we see God's glory in Jesus. He is important and significant, weighty and brilliant. But what is he discussing up here on this transfiguration place? Well, in Luke's gospel, Luke says he's discussing his Exodus, which is quite interesting because Exodus is the book we're looking at, and it means departure. And he's talking about his death with Moses and Elijah. And it's in his death at the cross that Jesus most shows his glory, his wonderfulness. And John, in fact, in his gospel, describes it as the glorification of Jesus, the cross, Jesus' death. How? Well, as Paul sums up in the verse which Jacob shared with us last week from 2 Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Amazing, isn't it? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's that exchange on the cross. Him who knew no sin, Jesus, goes up on the cross and bears our sin and does a swap. so that we who know lots of sin can become righteous because of him. How awesome is Jesus? How weighty and significant and wonderful. No wonder he shines with glory. We see God's glory in Jesus. So God's glory, Moses' face shines because God is brilliant. Jesus' face shines because Jesus is brilliant. Now there's one other thing that happens with shiny faces in the New Testament relating to our passage in Exodus, and it's this. Our faces shine. Our faces shine as well. Have a look around. Go on. It's a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. Sorry about that. If you trust in Jesus, then spiritually speaking, your face is shining with his glory. And in two ways, we're changed to be more like Jesus. And we shine the message of Jesus out. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul picks up on the events we've just read in Exodus. So let's flick on a little bit further in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I'll give you a page number again. 1160, I think. 1160. So we've been in Exodus 34, we've been in Matthew 17, and now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 on page 1160. And Paul preaches, as it were, from this event with Moses' shining face. And what he says is that the ministry of the gospel is so much better than the ministry that Moses had, and so how much more our faces shine. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, the law brings death. Because when you read the law, you just find out you're a sinner. And there's no, well, Jesus died for you there. So you don't know about forgiveness. So it brings death. If that came with glory, so that the Israelites couldn't look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory. Yeah, because his face was shining. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? And that ministry of the Spirit is that of sharing the good news of Jesus that he's been talking about earlier in the chapter. Isn't it wonderful? So Moses' ministry meant his face shined. Gospel ministry is so much better. How brilliant is that? And not only that, later on, verse 18, he says, we're being changed by what the gospel is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. And that's making us shine. We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We're being made more and more like Jesus. And we're not like Moses hiding that away. We don't put a veil over our face, as it were, spiritually speaking. We want it to shine. And so Paul says we can be bold. Verse 12, therefore, back to the ministry of the Spirit, therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. No, verse 18, we with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory. Wow, we're bold. This is very easy to be scared, isn't it, of sharing Jesus. And we're scared because our imagination goes into overtime. What will they think? What will they say? I'm only going to say stumbly words. I'm not going to get it all right. I'll make a bodge of it. And sometimes, yeah, we do experience some of that, but often not as bad as we think. Yes, there is the possibility of ridicule and rejection, and that's real. We might be ignored by someone or passed over from work because of what we say. But more often than that, there's interest. And we just never know because our imagination takes over and stops us. Think about it. Most of us are grateful to somebody who shared Jesus with us, aren't we? And in all sorts of different ways. I'm very grateful to a guy called James, who when I was new at university, got to know me, took me along to Christian Things. He didn't know how to react to that. But he was very bold. And wonderfully, that led to me making a deeper commitment to Christ. Most of us are grateful to someone like that, aren't we? What does someone do for you? There's nothing to be ashamed of in sharing the Lord Jesus. Look at this great picture. Mrs. The Duchess of Cambridge, Kate, and Her Majesty the Queen, and they're looking at Kate's wedding dress at an exhibition a few years ago. Now, when Kate took Her Majesty the Queen around like that, how proud could she feel? Amazingly proud, because she actually had made that dress look like $1 million, as they say, hadn't she? And it's like us showing Jesus to someone. We can be incredibly proud of Jesus. We can boast about him. Think of it like recommending someone something. We'd recommend a takeaway, wouldn't we? Or a pop group or something on Spotify, a camera you've got, a book, a film you've seen. We recommend these things. Let's recommend Jesus. Paul says, because of the glory of God, we can do this boldly. He's saying, look at Jesus and see the glory of the cross, that he reconciles people to God through that. He gives new life. Think of that justice and grace that we heard about as God passed by Moses. And then look at our friends. Wouldn't it be great if they saw that? Wouldn't it be great if they knew this Jesus? Wouldn't that be wonderful if they reflected that glory too and were transformed by that glory by the Spirit as well as we are? Paul says, be bold. 10 years ago, a friend of ours called Chris moved with his wife to Uganda. And Chris and Roz had made a decision. They were going to be bold. It wasn't quite what their families necessarily wanted. It was a very, perhaps, dangerous thing to do. But they went to Uganda to help church leaders in Uganda to be trained to show the glory of God. They did it because of the glory of Jesus. 10 years on, still there. And they would tell you, it's 100% worth it with all the ups and downs. What about you? What do you do? What will you do? What could you give up? Where could you go? Because of the glory of Jesus. Moses' face shines. So amazing was the Lord. Jesus' face shines because he is the weighty, significant Son of God. And we shine because of him. We can reflect that glory to others so they can know him. And he himself is using it to transform us. I wonder, would you recommend Jesus to someone? Not just recommend, would you rave about him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus is so worth it. And so glorious and wonderful. And we thank you for those who are courageous enough to say something to us or take us somewhere. Help us, we pray, to see that glory for ourselves, to understand your wonder and worth. And take away our imaginations and the danger of them holding us back. And help us to say with Paul, because we have such a hope, we are very bold. In Jesus' name, amen.